Welcome to Wild Soul Gathering. I'm Dr. Sandra Marie, and I'll be your host for this episode of Happy Hour for the Spiritually Curious. Hello to all you wild souls out there. I want to send a special thank you to each and every one of you for taking time out of your day to join and listen to our guests as we discuss the many aspects of spirituality. To stay updated on our latest releases, please follow us, share with friends who may be interested, and if you feel so moved, a kind rating and review is always appreciated. In the tradition of Happy Hour, cheers to some new insights, peace, revitalization, and perhaps an aha moment that may change your life. Welcome to Happy Hour for the Spiritually Curious. I'm Dr. Sandra Marie. Today I have Mark Borex, the creator of Soul Level Astrology, with me. Mark is also an author, an educator, and a lecturer. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thanks, Sandra. It's great to be here.
These are truly some amazing times to be a spiritual being reincarnated on the earth. I'm excited to delve into the Soul Level Astrology and talk a little bit about your books. But first, could you share a bit about your spiritual journey and how it began?
It always takes me a while to answer that question because it kind of crept up on me. I think in childhood, I had a defining experience. I was 9 years old. I went through an experience, which I actually describe in my new book that'll be coming out in the spring. I had an experience where I realized that my parents weren't who they seemed to be, that my parents and my neighbors, neighboring adults, my friends' parents, my teachers, they were all pretending to be something that they weren't. My experience was pretty devastating because it felt to me that they had forgotten the magic of what it was like to be my age. And that magic was very, very strong in my life. It hit me so hard. I went into a little secret passageway. We had an old colonial house in Stratford, Connecticut. And we had a passageway that went from one part of the house and it came out in a different part. I was the only one who ever used it. It was a small tunnel. And I went in the tunnel and I vowed that whatever happens to adults between my age and theirs, to take away their magic and turn them into something they're not, like a masquerade, that was never going to happen to me. And I made that vow so strongly, it made me cry. Then I blanked out that experience. I totally forgot about the day in the tunnel when I was 9 years old for about 30 years until a deep therapy session on Whidbey Island in the Puget Sound brought it out of me. And that 9-year-old me came bursting out of the tunnel as if I'd kept him in the tunnel ever since. He told me that I'd kept my vow so well that he'd never even been able to get out of the tunnel. And I think that really was the launch of my mystical spiritual path, though I didn't consciously talk or think about things like spirituality for many more years.
That is truly a beautiful story. I feel like many of us as children get socialized out of our true spirit and our magic. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
You created Soul Level Astrology, I believe it was back in 1987. Can you talk a little bit about what makes Soul Level unique from, and I'll put air quotes out there, traditional astrology?
Sure. At 1987, I had been studying astrology mostly through one book, Alan Oken's Complete Astrology, As Above, So Below. I'd never had an astrology reading. At that point, I had had an astrology reading, but I'd never taken a class. And it was before the rise of the internet, so there wasn't astrology information online. I had mostly studied my own chart. Then I met an astrologer, William Lonsdale, in Northern California, who gave me a reading at a point when I was frustrated because my writing had been taking seemingly forever to get launched. I'd had articles and poetry published, but I'd never gotten a book published and I'd been trying real hard. Now I was in the comic book industry. I had a few stories published and drawn by Marvel Comics and some other comic books companies. I hadn't broken in as a writer and I was working as an editor and a promotions manager, but I was very frustrated. I first began to consider this thing I've been studying for 4 years that I've been obsessed with, this astrology stuff. I'd been doing it as a passion, studying it as a passion, but could I learn to read people's charts and do it as a profession? And that was my main question when I met William Lonsdale and he gave me a reading that blew my mind. He said, yeah, you can be an astrologer. And looking at your chart, I think you would rise to the top of the profession if you ever go that way. But you need to remember one thing. This field is full of bullshit. This field is full of fakery, quackery, superficiality. If you want to be an astrologer and you want to do it the real way, you need to remember one thing. Don't ever think you know what Virgo and all the other signs are, but be willing to find out what they are all over again with each new Virgo or whoever they are. And that became my mantra. That became my metric. Right at that time, I had watched a popular TV show at the time, which was Bill Moyer interviewing Joseph Campbell at the very end of Joseph Campbell's life, the famous mythologist. And Campbell said, what the world needs is a new creation myth. We've run out of stories, and stories are the most powerful way to change human consciousness. We need a new story. Right then, I launched my career in the Bay Area, California, where there were a lot of other astrologers, and I wanted something to distinguish me from them. You know, I was a young man with a lot of urgency to finally find something in my life that worked and paid off. I thought, if I'm going to become an astrologer, I want to respond to Joseph Campbell's cry for a new story, and that should be a story of the soul. So I'll create soul-level astrology. A couple years after that, I began studying with the man who had given me that reading, William Lonsdale. I became his apprentice for 7 years. He taught me a mystical inner astrology that went much deeper than any other astrology I'd ever heard of. It still goes much deeper than any astrology I'd ever heard of. And I took what he taught me and I created soul-level astrology out of that. What makes it different than traditional astrology is traditional astrology gets very hung up on the surface of the signs. It's a surface consciousness. It has a lot of interesting concepts, but it's caught in a lot of cliches, a lot of leftover medieval ideas when astrologers served the king. And soul-level astrology cuts to the core. It strips away layers of conditioning, and it reveals the authentic nature inside a person. It's a deep and powerful work, and it's more like jazz than classical music. I have to find out all over again what it all means with each new person.
I love the analogy between the music, the jazz, and the classical. Someone came in for a soul-level astrology reading. What might that look like for them?
There's a wide variety of what that looks like because I don't just use astrology. I use my intuition. I use my psychic ability. I use my experience. I use my actor training. I'm a trained director and an actor, been in a lot of plays. I'm a musician and a songwriter. For me, astrology isn't the be-all and end-all of life. I'm not hung up on astrology. I'm a very strange astrologer. I haven't memorized the charts of my children. I'm not fixated on astrology. For me, the only value of the astrology birth chart is as a window to the soul. Once I get to the soul, I don't care if I'm talking about the chart. I'd rather not talk about the chart. In many of my readings, I don't mention a single planet or sign or house. The astrology for me is entirely a means to get to the soul. So depending upon what I'm picking up from your chart and from you, that steers me towards where I need to go. Sometimes in the first 5 minutes of a session, I say something to the person that goes so deep inside them, they start trembling and crying or laughing. And we've gotten to the soul. I know that I'm free then to leave the astrology behind. Other times, I need to fish around the chart a little more. Some people have more resistance to being exposed, to being unconditionally accepted. I always combine unconditional acceptance of whatever the other person is going through and whatever they've had to go through with a penetrating insight on who they are underneath those trials. Who are they really? What are they wrestling with? What repeating patterns, what karmas has their soul taken on? Where have they been in past lives? That plays out in many, many different ways each time. Some people have gotten 20 or 30 readings from me over the last 40 years, and they're always different. So there isn't any one way that a soul-level astrology session looks, but that gives you a little idea.
No, that actually makes sense. It sounds so much more well-rounded. Was there another iteration at one time called Star Genesis?
Star Genesis is the type of astrology we learned in my first mystery school with William Lonsdale. He later changed his name to Elias Lonsdale in under the giant redwood trees of the Northern California mountains, the Santa Cruz Mountains. We created a mystery school, and in that mystery school, William and his wife, Sarah, who's now deceased, brought through an entirely new astrology. It used the same names, but it scrambled the order of the signs and the ruling planets. And that was Star Genesis, which my version of astrology, soul level astrology, which I'd created just a couple years before I entered the mystery school, became largely predicated on the Star Genesis that I learned in that mystery school.
You teach some courses. Are they online or are they in person? Do you want to talk a little bit about what you teach? I think it's, you call it the College of Visionaries and Wizards.
Yes. Yes. The College of Visionaries and Wizards is a mostly online school and training program that I and my wife, Marcella Eversoll, created about 15 years ago. It has a number of different courses that it offers. The main course is called a chart study program. It's a 3-year course where I teach people around the world how to read the birth chart on a soul level, and we form deep bonds. We meet once a week for 2 hours live online, and some people can't make all the live online classes, so they get the recordings. And it's a training program where you get certified after studying with me for 3 years. By the way, every 3 years we start up a new 3-year course, and we've just started one that's gone through level one, but some people are climbing in now and they're taking level one as a self-study via the recordings so they can jump in and join us for level two, which starts next month in March. So in case any of your listeners out there and your viewers are interested in joining us, they can contact me, markborax.com, markborax, and they can find out about that. We also teach, this spring I'm teaching an additional course separate from the chart study program, which is a 3-year program. I'm going to teach a 3-month course, which is called Karmic Filters and Prenatal Intentions. It uses the birth chart to expose the reasons why your soul chose to reincarnate and what gets in the way of that and how to deal with that, how to turn karma to grace. My wife, Marcella, and some of our graduate students also teach various courses through the College of Visionaries and Wizards. People can find out more about those classes by going to my website, markborax.com, and signing up for my free monthly email newsletter called the Cosmic Weather Report.
Nice. That's really beautiful. I love that, changing karma to grace. What a difference that'll make in people's lives. Getting into your newsletter, Cosmic Weather Report, I love the title of that. I know that you have published 2 books and you have a third due to come out in May. Let's talk a little bit about your first book, 2012, Crossing the Bridge to the Future. What was that book about and what was the promptings that led you to write that?
That book was born out of a deep yearning in me to turn the world on to what I had gone through in the mystery school that I just described. It's a mystical memoir of my 7-year apprenticeship, including my adventures in love and sex and a young man's need to prove himself in astrology. It reads like a novel, even though it's a nonfiction. I had tried to write that manuscript so many times for 15 years. I would start the book and work laboriously on it for 1 year, and then I would read what I'd written and tear it all up and start over. Do that for a year, and then sometimes I'd wait 1 or 2 years and I'd try again, and then I'd write for 2 or 3 years, read what I'd written, tear it up and start over. This went on for about 15 years because I couldn't, for the life of me, find a way to do justice to both the mystical side of what I had gone through and the so-called real side. I found that in each version of the manuscript, I either went too far to one side or the other. And I did justice to the mystical, spiritual, wild, multidimensional part of the journey. I just wasn't holding up the dialogue and the scenes and the actions and the real emotional truth, the full grounded truth, or vice versa. Finally, I produced a version that I felt was strong enough to send to a publisher who accepted it, but then also called for a complete rewrite, and I had to go through the whole thing all over again, which took about 2 more years. And after all of this, 2012 Crossing the Bridge to the Future came out, and it became an international bestseller, and I felt really vindicated because I tried to get a book published at that point for 30 years, and I'd written 20 or more books, and I'd gotten close, but finally I made it through, and it was a very powerful turning point in my life. So that was my first book.
Wow, good for you. How awesome that you continued to pursue it until you had that final product that ended up being beautiful and successful. Your next book is called The Cosmic Weather Report. As I said before, I love the title, and I know that you also use it for the title of your newsletter. Was this book a little bit different than the first book?
It was. I was feeling itchy because I knew the first book syndrome could be like a one-hit wonder in the rock and roll world, and I didn't want to get stuck. So I produced within the next couple of years my second book, which was a collaboration between me and Elias Lonsdale. I took a powerful class that he had taught for us in our College of Visionaries and Wizards, and I extracted the core of it, and I reworked the material, and I produced a facsimile of that class in dialogue fashion, kind of co-taught by me and Elias. And that was much easier to write because I didn't have to dig so deeply in my soul. I didn't have to tear myself apart every day at the typewriter or the keyboard and put myself back together again. I had the class transcripts as a basis to work with. I was able to get a second book out a couple years, which it made me go, phew, I don't have to be a one-hit wonder now.
Nice. Again, you pursued it with success. Now you have, in May, coming out your third book, The Ruby Heart of the Dragon. Are we able to get a sneak peek about what that book's about?
Yeah, we are. A matter of fact, just yesterday, I got an endorsement from Stephen Forrest, who may be the world's most famous astrologer. And I want to go into my email for a moment so I can pull that out and share that with you. I was pretty blown away when that came in. Yeah, yesterday. It made me cry. It totally humbled me. Here it is. Deep thinking about astrological theory, side by side with the fruits of an examined life, are an unbeatable combo platter. In The Ruby Heart of the Dragon, Mark Borax deftly weaves astrological autobiography into a fresh and very evolutionary perspective on the 12 signs. A big plus is that he has the craft of a true writer. There's music in his language too. Stephen Forrest, author of The Inner Sky.
Nice.
I swelled up with pride at that because, like I said, I worked so hard for so many decades to really make it as a writer. Yesterday, that was the first person who's read the entire book. No one in the world has yet read the book except Stephen Forrest, though right now some other people are writing it, some other astrologers for possible endorsements. Like that little clip of Stephen says, I worked for the last 4 years to tear down the zodiac and rebuild it up from the soul, from the core, to get rid of all its cliches and inject new life into it. I've used my 40-year experience in astrology, in soul-level astrology, and my lifelong experience as a writer. 7 days a week for the last 4 years, I wrestled with the signs, and it was more like a medicine journey, like an ayahuasca experience, than it was like just an intellectual experience, because the signs kept morphing in front of my eyes and I kept having to really huff and puff to catch up to them and lasso them in their new meaning. So each of the 12 chapters, it's like a travelogue into a fascinating country that has its own borders, its own nature, its own wonders and dangers. And I lead the reader, I grab the reader by the hand and plunge them into this fascinating country of Aries and Taurus and so forth. It's called The Ruby Heart of the Dragon, Sun Signs for Our Times. The title has to do with the north and south nodes of the moon, which are karmic points in the birth chart. The south node of the moon indicates the issues you've brought in from past lives and the part of the past that you're trying to resolve. And the north node of the moon indicates the true north of your soul, the direction you reincarnated in order to find. The ruby heart of the dragon is my name for your sun. So I'm looking at each sun sign as this ruby heart that wants to shine on the world. And the more you resolve the issues of your past, the more that ruby heart can shine and lead you forward.
Wow, what a compliment from the first person to read your book. It warmed my heart. I can only imagine how you felt when you opened that up and you read it. So good for you. I'm excited for it to come out and get out to the public. You also do something called Soul Whisperings. What is Soul Whisperings? The words itself, it takes you to a whole different level just saying Soul Whisperings.
Yes, soul. Yeah, you're tuning in to the vibration. You know, as a trained actor, the key lesson I learned in my theater training and theater experience is that the subtext always trumps the text. In other words, one of our earliest acting experiences when I was in college in the 1970s, the teacher told us to memorize a verse from a favorite song of ours. It could be any song. They just wanted us to memorize the words and come in the next day and do scenes based on that. I forget the song I used. Let's say it was Help by the Beatles. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. That might have been what I memorized. The teacher would pick me and team me up with another student. And he would say, okay, now she's your great aunt who's a billionaire and she's dying. And she's in the hospital, and you're at her bedside. She has always despised you, and you want to be included in her will. Now take your lines. When I was younger, I was so much younger than today. I never needed anybody's help. And then we would run the scene, and now he would say, she is the hottest, most erotic girl in your life. This is the first time you're alone with her, and now take that song. You'd find out really quickly that the text of what's coming out of your mouth can have an almost infinite variety of meanings, but it's the subtext. It's not what you're saying. It's how you're saying it. It's the body language. And I took that lesson of how subtext always trumps text to get to the meaning underneath the words, the meaning underneath the birth chart. So you were just tuning in to Soul Whispering. Even that word, even that concept itself seemed to start to do something in you just from vocalizing it. You're already being drawn into the power of the subtext. Soul Whispering is my name for a kind of work I do that frees me from the chart. Because as powerful as astrology is, it's just another system of thought, and system of thoughts all have the danger of being used as a crutch that you can get caught inside of, not just a springboard to make your own unique discoveries. Even though I teach astrology, I always tell my students in soul level astrology, the soul comes before the astrology. This is a course that teaches people how to live from the soul first and do astrology from the soul second, because when you're living from the soul, everything becomes ensouled. The Soul Whispering for me is a huge relief after 40 years of looking at people's birth charts and finding new ways, new jazzy ways to work the planets. The difference between jazz and most other forms of music is even if the music score is the same, like Satin Doll, a song Duke Ellington made famous, even if the score for Satin Doll is the exact same score, if you've played that or your band has played that song 300 times, the 300th time, it needs to be almost as if you've never played it before. And that gets harder the more years you spent playing it. So I get to look at astrology all over again different, but there are times where I like to completely leave the astrology behind and just metaphorically place my ear on the person's soul. Just listen to their inner nature and not need the contrivance, as it were, of a chart in the way. I get to meet them without having an intermediary. And the soul whispering part is I guide you into a meditative state, an attunement. And in that state, I lower my voice. I talk gently. And I leave a lot of space in between my words. I talk straight to the soul. That's what I call my off the chart sessions, because it doesn't use the astrology chart at all. It's for people who want to go direct.
Powerful. Wow. You have brought up jazz a couple of times as we've been talking today. You used a term called star jazz. What is star jazz?
Well, star jazz is two things. Star jazz is what I call my personal appearances, my lectures, my presentations, where I cross-weave my music with my talk. Because I have found in public appearances and also in my in-person circles here, along in our three-year chart study course, every summer our students from around the world are invited to join us, me and my wife here in my home, and sit with us for 5 days in a circle and work direct. And this is where the star jazz came from in the sense of my talks and presentations. I might be on stage somewhere or in a, you know, in somebody's house giving a more intimate talk, and I'm talking about ideas that have a lot of weight, that are evolutionary, that are metamorphic, which is why my readings and my talks and even my books have a quality of being like a medicine journey. This isn't something you're going to read with the top of your mind and walk away from as an experience you're going to get drawn into. I find that if I've delivered a certain chunk of words, of text, as it were, on stage, I might have been talking for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 or 20. And at a certain point, I get the instinct to let those words sit, pick up my guitar, and sing a song. And during the song, it's like it uses a different part of their brain and their consciousness. The vibration of the music goes into their body directly. And sometimes the message of the song, if there is a message, is similar or in contrast or related in some way to what I just said. And then I'll put the guitar down and then I'll talk for a while again and then I'll pick the guitar up. So star jazz in that sense is my presentations, my live presentations. In the general sense, it's just the way I read charts, the way I teach classes, the way I write books, based on what William Lonsdale told me that day I met him when he gave me the first reading he'd given me. And he said, "You can't think you know what the signs are, but have to find out all over again." I thought, well, that's just like jazz. That's another word for jazz.
Mark, this conversation has been so enlightening and fascinating. As we wind down a little bit, you know, we're at a time right now where people are taking a more conscious approach to their spirituality, looking back at the past to rework their future, and honestly, understanding and recognizing what it is to be present, just present in the present moment. What words or what thoughts would you leave for the listeners who are out there starting this path or well on the path to help move them along or to give them that little jolt of, you've got this?
Regardless of what's in your way from becoming the fully expressed being that you are, on a personal level or on a collective level, what's happening in the world today, regardless of what's in the way of that, you can go through life expecting something wonderful to happen for yourself and all of us. You can lean on the bright future that started to come through back in the 1960s when we learned that all you need is love. You can live your life as if your soul was invited back into the physical plane in order to be true to the love you're made of and to give the gift of all the creative forces packed into your soul out into the world and receive some recognition, some deep gratitude and inspiration in return for that gift.
Beautiful. Truly, you have a gift. That was very beautiful. I want to thank you very much for taking time out to be on the show. For all you listeners, to learn more about Mark and his offerings, you can go to his website, markborax.com, B-O-R-A-X. I will also put his contact information and information about him in our show notes for you to refer back to. Mark, thank you, and have a beautiful day.
Thank you, Sandra. It's a pleasure talking with you.
So I'd like to thank all our listeners for taking time out of their day to join us. Until next time, and remember, embrace that wild soul.
I'd like to thank our guests for joining us for this episode of Wild Souls Gatherings Happy Hour for the Spiritually Curious. To find out more about our guests, how to contact them, or detail on this episode, please see our show notes. You can also visit us at our website, wildsoulsgathering.com. We would love to hear from our visitors what you thought of this show, what you would like to see and hear in the future, questions you may have.
Go to podinbox.com/happyhour for the spiritually curious. You can leave either a voice or a traditional message for us.
This is your host, Dr. Sandra Marie, sending each of you peace and love. Until we meet again, embrace your wild soul.